Welcome to Swiftly Spoken, a fan-made Taylor Swift podcast in which we break down her lyrics, deep dive into full album retrospectives, and theorise about what may be coming next. We are your hosts, Lisa and Cameron, and in this episode, we're going to be breaking down all things 1989 Taylor's version, which was just announced as the next re-recording to be released this October. At her last stop of the first leg of the North American part of the Eras Tour, Taylor announced 1989. Now, Swifties had been clowning, we must admit. Even we in our previous episode did say something could potentially happen on this last day, as it was like the 9th of August, which when flipped the other way around to how Americans kind of like put dates, it did spell out like 8/9/89. Taylor herself did mention this. We kind of did talk about this and we were like, oh, don't know, is it going to happen, isn't it? Well, we're here and it has happened. 1989 Taylor's version is officially announced and going to be out so close on the 27th of October, which is such a good day.
I know, and the original date, which is so lovely. I'm really glad that it makes it feel even more nostalgic that we're going to get it the same time we did originally, which is really,
exciting. I love that. So throughout the night, Taylor wore many different blue outfits, all new ones, Speak Now dress, the Folklore dress, the 1989 combo.
I loved the Folklore one. Yeah, the 1989 one was sick. Like, we've been waiting for that for a long time. I'm glad that she saved that.
Yeah, she must have saved these for that moment. Just, like, particularly for that moment. And you know what? She did it so well. Throughout the night, I think people were kind of like, okay, another blue dress? Okay, two blue dresses? Okay, we're going. It's going to happen, right? Yeah. It's happening. And yeah, she announced it and crowd went wild, of course. What an amazing tour date to be at. And what an amazing, amazing announcement to cap off the whole first leg of this tour. And it's not long away. It's literally like 70-something days away.
I know, which is scary. It's mad that we've had two album announcements now in the tour. Like, is this going to be a recurring theme? Like, are we going to get that for rep and debut? Like, it's really quite exciting. I love that she does it like that because it feels... Because she bangs on about how the only reason these are successful and she's able to do this is because of the fans. And it's such a nice thing to do for fans. And it feels like it is for the fans to be like, look, guys, I'm doing this. And I just love it. And you can see Taylor's excitement when she does it. And the fact then she performs a song from that album is just, I think it's so cool. And she did such a good job with just like the build up of, oh my God, she's wearing a blue dress in the Speak Now section. The Folklore one, I love that. Oh, I think it looks it doesn't look folklory, but it stands out so well. Like, she looks so like against the mossy green and it looked really, really cool. And then
like
the
1989
blue just makes it was a bit. And the 1989 one obviously just looks so much.
I've been waiting for
blue.
That. Yep.
And then obviously then we got the kind of like blue surprise song dress, which is really cool. And hopefully these will now start to become part of the outfits that should be circulating, I guess.
Yeah, so that is something that we will be discussing in our next episode, but we wanted to fit this episode in first. This is kind of like an emergency one, really, because we need to speak about 1989 Taylor's version.
Yes.
We kind of expected it, but at the same time, weren't 100%, because she's doing such random things for each one of these versions. They all fit perfectly, though. Like, Speak Now fit very, very well into the Eras Tour and using that as a platform to prop it up. 1989 obviously announced in a very similar way, but will have a very different rollout. She is not going to be on tour during that month. So we can expect different things.
Yes. Wonder if it will have a bit more of like a Red Taylor's version where she was around for like a week or so doing different interviews and different
promos.
I do feel like it was quite busy, wasn't it?
Mm. I feel like it will. Just because 1989 lends itself to that anyway. Also, not to, you know, skip ahead too far into the future, but it is also a good time to do Grammy promotion. As we know, you know, Grammys are the nominations and the people are looking out at that moment, and it's a good way to remind people not just of the Taylor's version re-recording project and 1989, but of her other pop album, which in many ways does hearken towards 1989 and how its aesthetic is, and you know, it has some links to 1989, which is Midnights. So I think she's gonna definitely use that time to be promoting possibly both things, but obviously principally, you know, 1989 Taylor's version. I do think we're going to get more of a a bigger rollout.
I hope so, and I hope so, and I hope we get some magazine photo shoot. Am I the only one that misses, you know, that? I really loved, like, you know, these different, because you just see Taylor in a slightly different way, the way that she's styled, and
yeah,
you know, whereas like for the Vogue 2020 British Vogue, like how cool that was, like, in, you know, she was styled slightly differently, and I just love that, and I hope we get some things like that, some slightly different promo, because her usual promo at the moment is just kind of like Jimmy Fallon, a couple of performances here and there, you know, just, it's very similar, a couple of TikToks and things like that, and appearing at different talk shows. A Graham Norton,
don't get me wrong,
one that she's,
I'm very excited for that as well, because we're well overdue an interview as well. We haven't heard from her like, you know, on a sit down appearance for almost a year, but it's understandable because she's at the tour. But I get what you mean. I'd love to see a nice magazine photo shoot and interview.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and also and unlike the like TV show ones, the kind of late night show ones that are quite repetitive, don't really ever delve very much into stuff, and are quite surface level with discussion, especially certain, like Jimmy or whatever his name is, it makes it all about himself. Whereas like with the magazine stuff, they go into like detail and talk about very different specific things, and there's just more to explore, because obviously you've got like 4 or 5 pages kind of fill of questions and things like that. I always think of the Rolling Stone 2019 one and the depth that went into.
Lover had some really good interviews in magazines.
L USA one, the 30 things I learned before I was 30, that's really, really good. And even some of the kind of slightly later ones in the era, like the Rolling Stone Paul McCartney one, was quite interesting. Hopefully we get something like that. That would be really, really cool. But I guess moving on, the first big thing that I guess we have to discuss is the cover, because obviously with the Taylor's versions, the covers are different. And yes, and it is always something that we've always mentioned, that is something we're slightly concerned about, because you get so used to looking at a certain cover, and especially 1989. Like, I'd say out of all Taylor's albums, 1989 is the most iconic cover.
It is.
And
it is
the most perfect cover.
For many reasons. So, it's been seen so much. You know, it's something that is a staple. You see it everywhere. It is a photo that everyone knows, even though it doesn't really look like her. Everyone knows it's her. It's, like you said, it's very, very iconic. And I know already, just in one day, I've seen many split opinions, even in our just little post that we put up saying, you know, Taylor has announced 1989. The comments, you guys, some of you were saying it's the best one. Others were debating and, like, not sure about that. So, I can feel that you're going to give me a controversial take, right?
I think, to be fair, my opinion has slightly changed. So I think 1989, I've always loved the fact that it's a Polaroid, like the Polaroid element has been something that's so key. And I was really hopeful with the singles so far. Obviously, it was like a botched Polaroid, you know, like it wasn't a Polaroid, but they attempted to make it look like one. And it came across quite cheap and it was just like make the image the whole screen. Like, why do we need this stupid white edging? Like, whatever. And I think the Fearless, Red, and Speak Now together, the Taylor's versions look like they work together.
A set.
You know, like none of them have got, they look like a set. Yeah, none of them, they have the colours quite clear, you know, like the gold, purple, and the red is quite a clear. They match the aesthetic and overall theme of the album perfectly, and they don't have text or anything. They just look really good, and they emulate the original, but are just ever so slightly different, you know? The 1989 one obviously is just very different, because it's not a Polaroid.
No.
It's not her cut, you know, off. Like, it's her whole face and she's laughing. And obviously it has got the seagull element, but they're in the background. And also the 1989, it's weird because I'm rambling a lot here, but I'm trying to get it all out. 1989 is like the actual photo shoot was basically her in New York and then in like an apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of it was ever on a beach. The actual beach aesthetic
is
came
the
from
jumper.
Rolling Stone. Yeah, it's from the jumper and the Rolling Stone 2014 photo shoot of her like running around on the beach. And this, the Taylor's version cover, seems to emulate that more, with like the white kind of like vest toppy thing, and her kind of frolicking around and laughing. That it seems to emulate that more, which if anyone is an avid listener of ours, knows that I am obsessed with that photo shoot. So I was like, cool, love that.
Right, right.
But then at the same time, I'm kind of like, is it emulating the original cover enough? And then it's got the text on it, and I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I'm like, none of the others have text. Like, well, why are we adding text again?
I gotta say, with the text thing, I agree. Like, oh, she's anything but consistent, this girlie. Like, she'll just do whatever she feels on each one. She's like, put it on this one, not on that one. It just, it's the vibes for her. I really think I've come to terms with that is how it is. But to be honest with you, when we were getting the first Taylor's versions, and I realised Lover, if she was going to continue that way, Lover was going to be the only one with the text on it. I felt like I had to come to terms with it's never going to be cohesive anyway. So at this point, we have Midnights with 1989 with, the others without. It's just very random. And I think it just, you got to go with the vibe. Not as an overall thing, but just like each album has its vibe. I get what you mean, and I have to say I agree with some points. For example, it's very different. It is very different. It's, I think it's the one, but to be honest with you, Fearless and Speak Now are very, very samey. Red is quite different as well. We're much more zoomed out.
Yeah, it is, to be fair.
We're much more, there's much more going on. It's much
on
more
on the background,
autumny, I have to say. Like, the original Red is less autumny. It's more summery, to be honest.
And it's quite dark. Yeah.
It
and
is. Also, yeah, it's, there's a lot of shade going on. Yeah. So, 1989 for me, what I do like about it is that, and not to get, you know, too deep here, but it feels like she's not just reclaiming the music, she's reclaiming the era itself. Like, how she felt and feels about her music and that time and everything going on. And there's posts going around a lot at the moment. I'm sure you guys, you know, you've probably seen them, but it was all like, she wanted it to be so mysterious and you don't know if it's going to be a happy album.
And this perfect polished,
exactly. This product that was so made for one specific reason. And now, I think in hindsight,
sonically cohesive.
Exactly. In hindsight, I think, obviously, it still is going to be that body of work, but it's looking at it from more of like a carefree vibe and being like, I don't have anything to hide anymore. I don't have to hype up this thing. I don't have to be...
Or prove anything.
Fight to prove to be taken seriously. Because she did with 1989, from the second that she thought of that album, she had to fight to prove in her label to be taken serious, that she could make her change. Fight to prove that this was a serious pop album and it was the pop album. And she had to, be very mysterious and very not too... I don't want to look like I care too much, you know? And I feel like this cover reclaims a lot of that. You know what? I'm going to smile. I'm going to be, you know, she's not taking herself too seriously. Her hair is like half pinned up. It's all coming out everywhere.
Yeah, so I say, like, she clearly attempted to like have the 1989 short hair, but then was like, she was actually not gonna like, who? Yeah, and then it's almost like, actually, who cares? Like, and that's what I mean. Initially, my reaction was very like, this is different, this is different. And then when I started to think about it, like, I think there's some quotes going around that, you know, Taylor said in the 1989 era that, she didn't want, like, she wanted the album to come across quite serious. She didn't want to pick, like, a laughing one. And obviously there is that cut, there is that photo that everyone always deems as the alternate, the original, before she discovered the one, where she is laughing.
Yeah.
And I feel like it emulates that. And like you said, it emulates. And also, I feel like she's now much more happier and confident, hopefully, and or appears to be within herself
and her music, and her
career,
especially,
and her music. So, and I think that, like you said, it emulates that, and just the freedom of just the 1989 album, the fun. You know, it is. I actually have really quite grown, even just within, because when we're recording this, this is like the day
of,
literally like the day of announcement.
Basically.
But even from, because this morning I was like, No, it was like reject.
Me too.
You know,
and just like,
I was like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, reject. I was like, awful, rubbish, hate it, no.
But only in comparison to its original. Because on its own, if I would see that for like,
as a cover, it's gorgeous.
It's amazing. Like, the blue, the seagulls. Oh, we love.
Exactly. Like, it's gorgeous. It's just the
comparing the
association with the original. I do personally, I don't think it's my favourite.
No.
In terms of a Taylor's version cover. For me, ironically, when Speak Now was released, I was like, Speak Now is the best so far. I think Red is.
I agree. I sent you earlier my little ranking, and I agree. I thought like Speak Now equals Red, but then I was like, you know what? I think it's Red, Speak Now, 1989, Fearless. Because Fearless, for me, my thing with it, I do like it, but the gold tint was never my favorite thing.
Yeah, I think the reason they did that was because obviously it would have been just like a blue there was nothing that had the
That's
gold
true.
Element of Fearless.
That's true.
Because they are
true.
Branding them as colours.
They
know?
Are
like,
very much.
Fearless is gold, Speak Now is purple, Red is red, obviously. 1989 is blue, and I feel like that's why they did it. So
You're
they
right.
had that
You're right.
vibe.
You're right.
So yeah, that's the
thing. And I do think
but
it looked magical,
actually,
but
yeah.
It's not my favourite.
And I think what's cool is the seagull element is kind of incorporated, which was something that everyone wondered whether it was going to be on the show, how that was going to be incorporated. So I'm really down now for the cover.
Yeah.
It was a shock initially, but we can move on.
Yeah. Moving on from just the cover, let's get into a little bit about the additions. So we don't know too much information at the moment, but we can give you all of the details that were up on Taylor's website and everything we know about all of the different editions that are being sold right now. So firstly, it's interesting to note that this is the only album, re-recorded album, that has had multiple editions, which already shows that this is going to be a big one. Like, she's not
CD
playing.
CD-wise, yeah.
Yeah, CD-wise, sorry, yeah. She's not playing when it comes to marketing this album. But vinyl-wise, which we'll get to first, we have just the one vinyl at this
one
moment.
So far.
Whereas Speak Now has, like, three. So
yeah, but to be fair, they were slightly delayed in release, I believe.
Right.
It was, like, a couple of days. It was, like, initially one, and then slowly we got a couple more. And then with Red, again, it was originally just the black one, and then the Target one came out. And I do think there will be a Target. Like, Taylor always has a Target. So there is definitely ones coming. But as of right now,
we just have
unlike
the stand.
With Midnights or Folklore, where it was like 8 hit us, 4 hit us the second it was announced and dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think as of right now, it's just the one. So, how are you feeling about that vinyl, like the blue?
Oh, beautiful. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Love the seagulls on it. Oh, looks amazing,
yeah.
I have to say.
I think it's gorgeous.
Yeah. It's perfect.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
For me,
perfect.
It's perfect.
Absolutely perfect. I'm intrigued what the other colours are going to be, whether it's going to be like a sandy colour.
Right, or maybe...
Because I do think there's definitely going to be another.
The vinyl might follow some of the CD kind of...
Yes.
Maybe, I don't
Pink,
know.
Yellow,
yeah,
maybe
like
yeah.
a... Like a blush kind of really or dusty rose kind of colour, maybe. But to be honest with you,
like
I would...
Like almost like skin tone-y.
I don't really...
Like Taylor's kind of skin.
Yeah, I don't follow vinyl collecting and all this. I know that you are much more involved in that than I am. But I think the Target one, it would be cool if it was like you just said, like a tanny kind of colour, like the original album's kind of colour, more like that, beigey. That'd be kind of cool, I think. But I don't know.
I think there will definitely be more. And I think like a tan colour would be really nice. But then, because originally Targets was so dead, like the Folklore Evermore Fearless ones were
like,
just
like red or black, right?
Like,
so
yeah, it was just like red. It was so dead.
Yeah.
And then obviously the red, it made sense to have a red album.
And they did black, right?
And then no, black original, yeah, black for the standard, but then the Target one was red.
Okay.
And then obviously for Midnights, the Target edition
Beautiful.
Was originally the lavender, but obviously then internationally that was everywhere, and then obviously for Speak Now it was the like blush pink one,
okay,
you know, pinky one. I can't remember what they're all called. There's like there's like
orchid?
I think it was lilac. Orchid, maybe one of them, but anyway, so yeah, so hopefully we get like a colored one, because it seems like now they're not sticking to the rigid, has to be a red.
That's
vinyl.
True. Yeah, so moving on from that, because that is one world of its own, but when I was saying before, like this is the only one with different editions, I was meaning with these four CDs. And we can kind of even say there's five, because there's one that is more
I think
standard.
Yeah, this is the standard, and then four exclusives. Yeah, so it's technically five.
Yeah, although it seems like the standard is the Crystal Skies one. It's the same blue CD, it would seem.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I'm not too sure how, because we know before that some things have been marketed a certain way, and it turns out not to be the truth.
Right.
Because I was thinking, is that like does the standard just not like I'm slightly confused, but I think from what I can see it is five, four exclusive deluxe and then the standard, but as we know it could be that this Crystal Skies one is the standard, but you just never know.
So the standard right now is being marketed as it comes with a poster on like a 10x10 poster. So on one side we have an exclusive photo, and on the other side, very interesting to note here, we have the Welcome to New York original lyrics. And you might be wondering, that sounds familiar. And that is because we have Taylor's written out lyrics of Welcome to New York. Now, whether this means that there's different original lyrics or this, it's something else, there are lyrics hanging up of Welcome to New York, and there's not very much changes. There's only like one word that she scrapes out and she's changed, but it's the one where she's like drawn a little skyline at the top of the piece of paper.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah.
And it's in her writing, and it is Welcome to New York. So I'm not sure if that's the one that's on the other side of the poster, which would be very cool because I love that. But
yeah,
it's a bit of a random song to just say, okay, there's original lyrics on the other side.
Because I was thinking that, I was like, is this original as in like the original handwritten lyrics?
Yeah,
like,
that's how I am reading it.
You know, yeah. Or because like with All Too Well for the Red album, obviously on the vinyl it had the All Too Well 10 handwritten lyrics, but not original. That was just Taylor's writing them out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not too sure, because they like to over market and
of course,
you know, like sell stuff a bit, don't they?
We
like
love
with
a description.
With the Speak Now, what we were joking, like, yeah, so it comes with an exclusive booklet and an exclusive CD disc. Yeah. So, yeah, like every CD.
Yeah, like a CD, yeah. CD,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not too sure if it, I would love it if it was like the original lyrics and some, you know, we love a scratch lyric over on Swiftly Spoken Podcast.
Oh, we love a scratch
lyric. And
we
will
lyric.
Be delving into those, mm-hmm. if so.
Mm-hmm.
So fingers crossed. And the poster looks cool. The poster looks like it's from the Taylor's Version 1989 photo, because clearly there's been a Taylor's Version 1989 photo shoot, and we'll get in once we get into the exclusive that there's an element of both OG and the Taylor's Version photo shoots. But it looks like there is a Taylor's Version photo shoot at least, so that looks like that is what the poster is from the teeny little bit that we've been shown, because you only ever get shown like the little edge,
the edge of it, which is funny. And also, something to comment upon is, like you said, it looks like, we definitely have a photo shoot, which the Speak Now photo shoot is amazing. We don't talk about that enough.
Yes.
But just to add that in there, it was incredible. And if we get something similar for 1989, we're going to be gagged. But
especially if it's emulating the Rolling Stone 2014.
Oh, if she's on a beach, I'm going to lose you.
Oh,
you'll be gone.
I will go mental. And to mention as well, the CD disc looks gorgeous with the seagulls, which is emulating the OG.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Disc. And I love it when they do that. Like, I love, like, for, what's it, for Fearless, obviously, they did the hand heart on the CD. For Red in the booklet, in the CD, when you, like, on the back bit, it says thank you. And then for the Taylor's Version, they did the same. And then what was the thing that they emulated with Speak Now? The painted effect.
Yes, that's it.
They did that.
Oh, I love how on every
so they
one,
always emulate.
They do a little nod.
They pick something.
Yeah. I mean, obviously that's the point, but we love it. I love it.
To be fair, I think the nod is what we're about to go into, which is the exclusive versions with the Polaroids. I do think that is the nod.
Yeah, so this is something we haven't got before for Taylor's Versions. It's very much giving Midnights, but better. Like, we're actually getting a bit more content.
It's giving, like,
which is cool.
Yeah, because
the four colors,
it's giving, well, the 1989 version was where you got like the Polaroids, and they were in like a pack, they were in like a little paper sleeve, and then with like Rep, obviously they came with the posters,
collectionist,
and with like
things.
Lover, with Love we got like the what's it, diaries and stuff, you know, just like an element that isn't just like the cover's different.
You get something
tangible
else.
With it.
Exactly. So we have four exclusive versions of 1989. As for the content on the one disc that is included, there is no difference, but we do have, firstly, different names to these editions and different covers. We have the Crystal Skies edition, the Rose Garden, Aquamarine Green, and finally Sunrise Boulevard. So here we have two things that we know, Crystal Skies, Rose Garden, lyrics that we've known all our lives. What is all this Aquamarine Green and Sunset Boulevard coming from?
Yes, because with Midnights, obviously, the covers were kind of lyrics are the different versions, and Folklore is the same. So yeah, I'm guessing
from the vault
it's coming somewhere.
New lyrics, are these the first,
the only one
scraps
really,
of new
to
lyrics?
Be fair, Mahogany, that was Rogue, so maybe there might
true.
Be
yeah and Jade, I guess, is
potentially
really,
and Jade Green, yeah it wasn't,
but Blood but Moon is the, is there
Blood
She's
Moon
there.
And
Moonstone.
Obviously Lavender, yeah,
Lavender.
Moonstone and
yeah.
Lavender,
yeah,
but the other two were a bit Rogue, so potentially Aquamarine Green and Sunset Boulevard could be the Rogue ones.
But I feel
potentially,
like
hopefully, Yeah,
And Aquamarine
Aquamarine
Green,
Green as
well,
well.
we know that 1989 is the album for Green Eyes, so what can I say?
Oh,
What can I say? I will leave
yes.
it
I
there.
hadn't even thought about that.
I will leave
Yes,
it there.
that's very, very true. Yes, and obviously these four colours fit with the four surprise song slash 1989
Oh, we love.
eras tour outfits,
We
which is
love.
this woman is just way too on it. Like, it's almost sometimes you're like, is this a coincidence? But yet,
But if
you
it
know, like, can
is,
you really be that on
that's
it?
amazing. Like, Crystal Skies
Yeah.
is blue. That is the new one that she just put out. She wore just the other day. Rose Garden is like the pinky one. Aquamarine Green is
Pinky
obviously the
one.
green one. Sunset Boulevard is the yellow slash orange one. Oh, love that. Is
She's
it a
way too on it.
coincidence? I don't know, but it's such a good one. Such a good one. And the
And
content,
then,
yeah, go ahead, because I know
yes, I was
that
gonna
this
say, no,
excites
you,
you.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, this, I love stuff like this because my big claim to fame
Yep.
is that I have every single 1989 Polaroid. So I have all five, plus the Japanese exclusive one,
Lived through it
plus
with you. It was so
both,
good.
yeah, plus both lithographs. No, plus, sorry, the big like lithograph, the alternate album cover, and then the 1989 World Tour lithograph. So I have every single one. Like, I have every photo ever of the 1989 tour, a 1989 photo shoot, physically. So the fact that we're going to get more makes me just so excited, because each CD is going to have five photo cards, and both are but double-sided. So hopefully that's 10, I guess. Fingers
Yeah,
crossed.
I'm kind of,
I'm not
yeah,
sure.
I'm like, because then it says they're double-sided photo cards with 15 never seen before photos. So the
Yeah, it
calculation
doesn't really add
isn't
up.
calculating. The maths are not mathing.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah, me too. I'm
I'm not
slightly
sure.
confused. So
Yeah.
we'll see.
Will
But
we get
yeah,
repeats? Does that
photos never
mean?
seen before. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But yeah, never seen before pictures from the vault. So these are from, this what's exciting, the original 1989 photo shoot. And I don't know how she's been able to make, like, attain those, like, what the
It's.
rights. I don't really know rights with photos
I
and
don't know either.
for photographers.
I'm guessing that maybe it has to do with whoever licensed them originally, if it was part
Originally, the
of
photographer.
13 Management instead of Big
Yeah.
Machine, maybe something
Which might
there.
be why she was able to, like,
The
obtain the
tour.
original 1989 font. You know how she put it on merch?
Right, yeah. I'm not sure because we're not involved in that kind of side of the business. And if
Yeah,
any
I
of you
don't know that.
guys,
Yeah.
if any of you guys know and would love to, we'd love to hear you comment if you
Oh,
are
please.
part of
Yeah,
it
I
all
find this
and
stuff
understand.
fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. And if we'll pin you and we'll let everyone know about the information that
Yeah.
if any of you are in that business, because we aren't. But something obviously allows her to do this. They're cut content as well. So, but oh, love the
That's
idea
what I
of
was thinking.
seeing
Is it
cut
because they're
content.
not
Oh.
included? Yeah. Is it because they're not included that she has, yeah, ownership of them? And it
I mean,
seems
it's
like
her
they're,
in the
is it
end. It's her
exactly,
image.
yeah. But the whole thing in the 1989 photo shoot was, it was like a proper photo shoot, and then the Polaroids were happening simultaneously. But it seems like these are just the photos, not Polaroids,
Yeah, because they're
from the
described as
photos that we've
photo
seen.
cards, not Polaroids.
Yeah,
So it
not
would seem like they're
Polaroids.
like cut content that weren't so much from Polaroids, but from that same photo shoot that was happening
Photo shoot.
at that moment.
But that is still really
Iconic.
exciting, because as I've mentioned with each CD, it's been interesting how stuff's been incorporated. As I said with Fearless, how that was done with the tour, very minimal photo shoot. Red was half and half, basically, still emulating Fearless, but the Taylor's version vault side had the photo shoot. Then Speak Now was total photo shoot, no tour. And it's intriguing that Re and 1989 now seems to be new photo shoot and old, whereas
Yeah,
none of the others have had any of the
from the
album photo
vault.
shoots. They've been tour, if any inclusion. So yeah, it's exciting, and I love just this, like, change up and getting new stuff and different content. It just makes it more exciting, and I think this is so fun,
Oh, I love it.
bringing back
Yeah,
the
it's
collector
really
element.
fun.
Like, I know some people slate it of, why do you need five versions, and what,
Right.
oh, it's all like making money. Yeah, it is. It's
And
a really good
we have to say,
marketing,
like,
but it's
obviously,
fun.
we're
People
lucky
collect
enough.
everything.
Exactly. We're lucky
Yeah.
enough to be able to collect them either slowly, bit by bit. if anyone can't make it, or for example where I am, I can't right now, they're completely sold out, I wasn't available when they came up, so I might not even get them. It is what it is, it's fine, they will be available going forward in the future. Even you, Cameron, you collected all of those things over the last, you know, couple of years, and you were able to get them secondhand, and you know, it's and fine if you can't make it, or if you can, you know what I mean.
Yeah, and one good thing is Swifties are always really good at, like, scanning it. There's, like, every 1989 OG Polaroid has got a really high definition, so hopefully it'll be the same after a couple of weeks. Definitely. These things do. Like, even the Red photo shoot book, you know, the, like, holy grail of
Taylor Swift merch. It's up there.
There's incredible, like, yeah. So hopefully people will do that. And, yeah, it is really exciting. And I just think it's cool that it's emulating the original and it's adding to the nostalgia of the original. But without, because I remember with the rep and 1989 releases was it was potluck, because you would buy some and be like, oh yeah, because the rep one I bought like three on the day, and two of them were, like, the same.
Who knows what you're gonna get. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
exactly. Whereas at least now, you know, okay, I'm getting this version and that version.
But yeah, that's true.
Really, really exciting. I just love that there's multiple. As a CD collector lover, I just love stuff like that, so that's really, really fun. And yeah, fingers crossed, I'm really excited to see what it is and all of that. But as a album package, it looks really cool. And it obviously does. There's four different covers across the versions. It's not just the same cover. Mm. Seems like it's different photos from the photo shoot, different colours. So, yeah, exciting. I love that as well, actually.
I hadn't thought about this. But what about if one of those covers of one of those other editions is more like the original cover? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because for, like, Speak Now, there is a photo that is more like the original photo than what she chose. Yes. So.
And even Red, there's one where she's a bit more like pulling her cap down.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
So potentially, it's intriguing to see what the other vibe was for. Because by the looks of what we've seen so far,
Little Corner,
the Wildish Dreams Taylor's version cover photo shoot, I don't think is part of this.
No, I agree. Or This Love. I think that was very much, because This Love was kind of like a cut from Fearless anyway.
Fearless Evermore. Because it's it's one of those weird digital versions, hand digitally signed Evermore ones, just zoomed in, you know, where she got her hands up in the air, which then is used in Fearless as well. It's a bit weird. So yeah, hopefully it's totally new, because the Wildest Dreams one, I don't mind, but I've never been the biggest fan of.
Right.
So yeah, but really, really exciting nonetheless.
So the last thing that we can talk about, now that we've spoken about, you know, what the CD looks like, everything that we can surmise from maybe new lyrics, we can go on to the actual content of the CD. So in total, Taylor has described that it has 21 songs, 13 obviously are the standard songs. We already have Wildest Dreams, Taylor's version, and This Love, Taylor's version. So it is the album, or the Taylor's version, with the least amount of new, you know, quote unquote new material on it, funnily enough.
Mm-hmm.
We then have obviously the three deluxe tracks, very, very beloved within the fandom. And then we have a total of 5 From the Vault tracks, which is a break in her streak of having about 6, although Red technically did have 9, but 3 were kind of like songs that we knew of, or were just like different versions of the song. So yeah, not six. Maybe because 5, you know, it is the 5th album. So some people are saying 5 because it's the 5th album. And it really scares me how she literally mentioned in her post, these are like the my insane favorite. Like these. And I was like, if Taylor's, it's her favorite re-record. That's scary.
Yeah, it's scary. But I think what's interesting is, whereas before, I'm more thinking like, okay, so where, because we'll get into it, but like how what is now going to be included? I don't think there's going to be as much as previous. Like, I don't think we're going to get, oh, this song that was released in the year or at the end of the year or, you know?
Yeah, so what's interesting is that it seems like 1989, she's trying to make it just like one CD, which is similar to what happened with Midnight's, the late night edition, which is like the exclusive physical edition that is only available at the Eras Tour. So that kind of condensed and took away a couple of tracks from the Midnight's track listing, Glitch, Paris, you know, our regards to those amazing songs that got left out.
I know.
But, you know, she left out those songs in order, it would seem, to make it into a, like a one CD kind of album. And 1989, it seems that perhaps something similar is going on. Because if we think about it, like you just said, it would not be including any songs from in or around the era. So Rest in Peace, Sweeter Than Fiction. Maybe.
Sweeter Than Fiction, yeah.
I Don't Want to Live
Bad
Forever.
Bad Blood with Kendrick. Like, what the hell? Because I was like, when I saw that Kendrick left the studio the other day, when Taylor was there,
right.
I was like, oh, 100%, like, we're getting Bad Blood. Like, that would be so stupid not to release the Kendrick Lamar version. And I was like, we're definitely getting it. And now I'm like, are we?
But the thing is, I feel like, now that we have seen that there are alternatives, so we know that she's tacked on the Lover, Fearless and Red. She tacked on various things at the beginning of tour, like Red suddenly now includes, but only on streaming, you know,
Eyes Open and Safe Sound.
Exactly. So maybe, perhaps.
Maybe she might have another drop of like, might do things like I Don't Want to Live Forever or Bad Blood Remix, Sweeter Than Fiction.
Yeah.
Crazier.
At some point. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So yeah, like she might do it like that, which would make sense. But I'm slightly disappointed because as much as I love Bad Blood, the remix just tanks it. Like, it just does. It's so good. The
backing track's sick. Kendrick's sick.
Yeah. Me too. I was like, that's 100%. Like, I was like,
in our episode, we discussed it, and these were the kind of like songs that we tacked on there. Just like how on Fearless, she tacked on a couple of songs that were kind of in between songs. On Red, she did the same with like Ronan and stuff, which I'm so glad that they do have a physical home. But again, Taylor and her inconsistency, those have a physical home, but Lau, like,
Today was Verito,
but now we have literally a song that was originally on a physical album that is nowhere, it's only on streaming, so because you wanted to include it on Fearless, so it's just I don't know
messy. I guess what is interesting though is the five from the vault. So there's lots to kind of digest from within that, because Taylor herself said that there was 150 songs written for 1989. So it's like, well, what happened to, you know, the
I've
other
129
or whatever it is, mass. But I think you'll find that, as ever, Taylor loves to exaggerate, and sometimes you do say things like that of like,
of course,
I did 100 for this, and we wrote hundreds.
It's like,
we wrote hundreds of stuff. Yeah, we wrote like at least 150, you know. Whereas actually it probably was, some were not fully formed songs, some were just ideas, some might have transported into others, some might have been different versions of the same, and you know. So if Taylor would, I'm sure she would have added more if there was more floating around. And I think in 1989 as well, she was definitely, I think she was being quite tight and harsh in what she was writing. She wasn't just writing and seeing what was coming out. She was like, I want to make a perfect polished pop album that is sonically cohesive and I think she's gonna follow through with that.
I don't think these, as much as we were saying before with the cover and how it's, how you know, she's reclaiming it in many different ways, I do think that these vault tracks are gonna fit. They're gonna be songs that fit the album. They're gonna feel like cohesively part of it, because it makes sense with the 1989 aesthetic. I don't think they're gonna be as I don't want to say messy, because they're not messy, but as like eclectic, shall we say, or diverse.
Yes, that's the best word.
As Red Vault, for example.
But to be fair, Red as an album is that in that nature.
It is that
anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
So it makes sense. Right, whereas and even Speak Now, to be fair, as we discussed, is that slightly more like different sounds, you know. Whereas 1989 is one sound.
It is.
So hopefully they kind of emulate that. But I think what is interesting is the things that we have discussed about and that we do slightly know about is some of the stuff that was being written. So obviously Diane Warren said that she wrote a song with Taylor songs. Is that on there? Like, is that come to light? Because you know, we have known of certain songs before, like with Forever Winter, for example. Co-writer like had made it aware that he had written with Taylor. We never really heard it. So potentially, and obviously we did, potentially, hopefully, but the big one that I think everyone is like, will she, won't she, is the kind of rumored. Yeah, I can't even, don't even know how to describe it. The
yeah.
The one that everyone has been banging on about and says they want is obviously a Style remix with Harry Styles.
Not us, but that would mean again. Then.
I know that would mean then that it would technically only be four.
No, I honestly do not believe that any of those Vault tracks are remixes or
remixes,
anything.
Remixes, me too.
Like, the way that she worded it herself, she did mention she couldn't believe these five songs were left behind. So, for
left
me...
Left behind, yeah.
Completely
Whereas,
original.
Whereas, yeah, Harry Styles is never going to be on that album. Yeah.
Exactly. Completely original, completely different. We've never heard these before. I honestly do believe that. It's five songs that we know nothing of, which is really, really exciting to think. Obviously, one of them could be the Diane Warren song. I do think that if we get remixes, it's going to be like the Droplets that we got. Although, then again, you never know, because suddenly we got that random Love Story remix tacked onto the end of Physical Fearless. So
very true. Very, very true, actually.
That exists.
Yeah, we did.
That
we,
is a
we
thing.
We got the
yeah,
Elvira remix. So potentially we could get Bad Blood on the end of it.
And stuff.
And stuff, fingers crossed. But also, I think what's interesting to mention is collaborators.
Yes.
Because weirdly from the vibe of her post about it, it didn't feel like there would be. It
right?
felt like these were how they were. Like, is that, I know that's really dumb, like maybe might be a bit like,
no.
How the hell did you get that vibe? But
I
when I read it, I was like,
as well.
Yeah, I got this vibe that it's like, no, these are as they were, and like, I can't believe they were left off, and they're just such insane songs. You know, it's almost like they were just so insane as they were.
Yeah,
that's
like,
the impression.
This
that
is
I got.
How they were. This is what we left out. You know, they've been made now, and here they are. I don't know, you know, because there is one less. Like, she's been doing like two collabs for all of them. Like, for Fearless, she did a couple for Red. Actually, there was more than a couple, but for Speak Now Again, she did a couple. So. I don't know, you know. I don't know. Also, 1989, like we spoke about for Speak Now, and in the end, you know, she gave us collabs with Speak Now. But 1989 has never had any collaborations in the standard, you know, well, standard slash deluxe editions. Obviously,
standard
then we got
deluxe,
remixes.
But neither did Speak Now originally.
That is true. Very true. That's what I mean. So, I don't know. Like, in a way...
I think she will keep collaborating. Like, because that seems to be the kind of tradition.
Yeah.
And a really good way of like selling it, isn't it, of like incorporating other artists and having that feeling of like, because obviously re-recording in this whole project is slightly going against the music industry and
very much
the
so.
Traditional sense of, you know, ownership and all of that, and it's almost like getting more people on board.
Definitely.
To kind of, you know, like,
definitely,
you know. So, but weirdly, I got the vibe that there, I don't know, maybe I'm just being silly and I just,
don't know, in a way, but my little purist 1989 heart kind of thinks, I don't want anyone else on this album. Let Taylor do her thing.
Yeah.
Also, not to be horrible and not to be funny, but I have to say the Speak Now collabs didn't give much to the song. I know that sounds terrible, but for me, the Fearless and Red ones provided something special to those songs,
exactly,
whereas
yeah.
the Speak Now ones, maybe I'm still getting used to them. Like, maybe, you know. But,
no,
yeah.
I know what you mean. I'm very much like, I've always found with, like, Taylor, because obviously when your favourite artist, you obviously just want them to fill up the top, you know, it's like, I want Taylor to sing. And because they're Taylor's songs, she sings them with more emotion and stuff like that. And certain times I'm like, oh no, I'm really glad it had a feature because it works really, really well and really lends itself. Like, things like Exile, Nothing New, for example, just really, really lend themselves to that. Everything Has Changed, for example. Endgame, stuff like that, I think are really good collaboration. Bad Blood remix, for example. But then sometimes they don't. Like, Love of Shawn Mendes. Perfect for me, to be honest with you, like, Electric Touch.
I know
Crumbling.
What you mean. And I do think
they just,
has
like, it's not
they're
bit... bad, but they just don't.
Yeah.
They're just not giving anything. I'm like, I feel like I don't really, there's nothing that I'm like, oh wow, yeah, you've really added something. And I know that is probably very controversial. And lots of people would be like, no, but at the
which
end of the day,
fine.
It's an opinion.
Everyone has
and
opinions.
It's mine.
It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. But my opinion personally, collaboration, I think because Taylor collaborations are very hit and not hit and miss with them being good or bad. I just mean like they're either a collaboration or a backing track. When they are a collaboration, I'm like, I want them to, because like one of my favorite artists ever, Mara Morris, is technically a feature, but you can never hear her. And I've always felt a bit let down. I'm like, Mariam was never given that treatment, you know? Like, so
I
it's like,
know.
Yeah, it's one of those things, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But whatever, collaborators or no collaborators, I'll love it and we'll release it up and it'll be incredible.
Oh,
and it'll be
God,
like, oh,
yeah. I mean, that's why we're here, right? That is why we're
here. The big one would be a certain Miss Gomez.
I don't think it's happening.
Really? Do you
No.
not?
If I was to
I think,
say...
what, because the pressure?
Yeah, I think, firstly, it's been built up way too much. But secondly, if Selena is getting involved, I want her for reputation. I can't lie.
Really? I don't know. I
yeah.
feel like...
I think she's
yeah,
more like...
I don't know.
Her sultry pop is more leaning towards rep than 1989,
yeah,
I have to say.
Yeah,
For me. But everyone's different. And you guys can let us know as well. Who are the potential collaborators that you would like to see on the vault, if any at all? Would you prefer this to be more of like just a Taylor album? I don't know. For me, I'm kind of feeling I don't need anyone in specific for this album. I'd like to see, I don't know, yeah, maybe Selena could be cool. Obviously Harry, obviously
Harry,
he's there.
Yeah.
Is my number one wishful thinking. I will clown.
I think sonically as well, maybe people like Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, definitely.
Troye Sivan, for example.
Yeah,
might work
that sonically, they work, definitely. But I don't know, we can
and I'm sure there's others. Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah, yeah, why not?
And obviously, and what would be cool is then Sabrina is then an opener for
that's
tour,
true.
So Taylor could bring her out, and like she has with Haim and
good...
Phoebe.
Yeah, you know what? That is actually pretty a solid guess, honestly.
Mm. Yeah, so we'll see. Yeah. And even Hayley Williams, but obviously that was pre-Speak Now, but she was an opener, so that might be one of the reasons why she was opener. So you never, ever, ever know.
You never know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I think what is interesting, though, is, and this thought just popped in my head, that we technically will have From the Vault tracks from every single album. Because obviously we'll get them for debut all the way up to rep.
Mm-hmm.
Then Lover, we have All of the Girls,
yep.
And obviously Need, but officially All of the Girls.
All of the Girls, yeah.
Then Folklore, technically Carolina, because
yeah.
It was written during the same time.
True.
Like, it was actually written during the Folklore album. Evermore was a bit more touchy, because I'd say, like,
guess
Renegade.
Technically Renegade, maybe, but I can't really remember when, because we did a whole, like, breakdown of the chronology of Evermore, and I can't remember exactly when they fit Renegade in.
There was a crossover, because there was a potential that
they were working
Dorothea
all the time.
Was going to be...
Exactly.
Yeah, Dorothea was going to be a
big red machine.
What do you call it?
Yeah.
Big World Machine, yeah. Then, obviously, Midnight's You're Losing Me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's really cool is we get to see the more
behind
of the entire
the
kind of landscape.
I love that.
Of the whole thing. And to be fair, weirdly, even songs like, for me, songs like Gasoline and stuff feel like a bit of an Evermore. I don't know, they just feel like Evermore rejects. Just,
right.
I
guess because they
Renegades
were like in that moment and with those people, and it really extends the eras. Always Droplets extend eras, but it's like we're getting Droplets behind the scenes years later, which is so interesting to see.
Yeah,
that's what's interesting.
Even the Alcott, like, everyone moved on way too quick from that song.
They
I'm not
did.
Gonna lie, like,
I love
like,
that
everyone
song.
Everyone moved on way too quick. And
they
that does
did.
Have an Evermore-y vibe as well.
Yeah, it is very Evermore.
So it is exciting that we get to just see more of the landscape. And 1989 is going to be such a good one. Like,
definitely.
But, yeah, exciting stuff. But I think also we need to mention we are going to do the Eras Tour recap. This is just purely like an emergency episode, but that does mean that we will be like extending the time that you can send in submissions, so please reach out, send in stuff. We'd love to have people involved.
Yeah, if you've
but
been
we
to
will
the Eras Tour,
promise you we will get an episode out recapping it.
Yeah, let us know. Send us a message over on Instagram at Swiftly Spoken Podcast. Let us know if you want to get involved in that episode. We'll have a few days from when this episode is out to get in contact with us, but we have had some people reach out to us already, which we thank you so much. And yes, that episode will be coming next, and we'll be going all over the Eras Tour, all
as long
surprises.
As Taylor doesn't then announce rep or debut or something like
sit
that
down.
Yeah.
But yeah, as long as everything is on track, we will be doing that next. So but the last thing I want to say before we conclude this episode is how poignant the message of 1989 is right now. You know, we're back full circle, and I think it made me, you know, I read it this morning and I was like, oh, little tear. She lost him, but she found herself, and somehow that was everything.
Yes.
And it
yes,
I think
I
this
that.
Album is going to be very much reclaiming once again, you know, she can reclaim the land. Ugh. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Let us know all of your predictions and all of your thoughts and reactions and excitement for 1989 Taylor's Version, which is not very far away. If you did enjoy and you want to follow us, subscribe over on YouTube. That is where we usually are, and we interact with you guys in the comments, which we love to do. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate us on Spotify or Apple Music. We check those as well, and we love to see your feedback. And keep up with us, because we will be going through every single beat of the 1989 Taylor's Version era. Like we said, we're going to be recapping the Eras Tour and then heading into the international leg of the Eras Tour, which is going to be very, very exciting.